You're listening to FMGRadio.com.
I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show. I am Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host. Today, I have three guests, and my first is Dr. Beth Janaris, who holds three graduate degrees in business counseling and oriental medicine. She has spent 20 years as a psychotherapist, over 14 years as a strategic management consultant, and 8 years as an acupuncturist. Her vast and impressive education includes acupuncture, oriental medicine, Jungian theory, cognitive behavioral therapy, Gestalt theory, Jeffrey Jung five element theory, energy rebalancing, and life coaching. She specializes in East-West mind-body-spirit integrated training to offer solution-oriented life coaching, parenting skills, relationship development, and mindful techniques. This allows her to bring a unique blend of complementary methodologies and techniques into her practice with clients and her writing. She is devoted to providing supportive, solution-focused teaching that allows people to live a more harmonious and happy life. She is the author of Turning No to On, The Art of Parenting with Mindfulness, and Turning Me to We, The Art of Partnering with Mindfulness. More information is available at www.bethjanaris.com. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Dr. Janaris, and I look forward to hearing about mindfulness in relationships. Now first, your book is called Turning Me to We, The Art of Partnering with Mindfulness. And what does this mean, turning me to we?
That is a great question. Thank you so much for having me, Carl. It's really a pleasure to be here. I wanted to write a book that would assist people in moving away from being competitive or narcissistic in their style of relating, which ultimately pulls people away from each other, into being more collaborative and connecting. And so I began to think about the different stages that people move through. Mm-hmm. So when we start out as children, we're very me-oriented, me. And then we sort of develop in adolescence in our 20s, maybe even our 30s, into sort of I-oriented, sort of independent, only very isolated in that we're taking care of ourselves, but we aren't very interactive or integrative. Mm-hmm. And then when we develop more fully, we can feel stable and safe in interdependency, which is a we. So I developed this set of principles to help people move from me through I to we. So turning me to we, and it's the art of partnering with mindfulness.
Mm-hmm. Great. Then can you tell us what is mindfulness and how does it assist us in creating successful relationships?
Absolutely. The concept of mindfulness comes from psychology as well as some of the Buddhist practices. And it's this idea that when we're mindful, we're living in the now, we're in the present moment, we're observing situations with interest and curiosity, we are offering compassion and loving kindness in how we view the world, and we're willing to receive information from others as well as know what we think about things. Mm-hmm. So mindfulness is being responsive to your environment, responsive to others, without being reactive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And how does it help with relationships?
Well, in relationships, one of the most important things that we're looking for is a sense of connectedness. We are wanting to collaborate with others. We want to be seen, and we want to see others. And in relationships, to have success, we have to move away from this competitive narcissistic perspective, which is away from a dualistic perspective toward unity. And mm-hmm. relationships require, partnerships require that we see another person and we matter too. Mm-hmm. And mindfulness assists us in paradigm recognition, in recognizing what others want and being able to provide for others while still receiving what we need.
Mm-hmm. You say that it's important first to look at our own personal development. And why is this?
How we determine relationships are supposed to go, and I'm putting that in parentheses, has to do with what we experienced as we moved through our psychological stages of development. So what it is that we learned about our environments. Are they safe? Are we lovable? Do we feel like we're seen? Can we be successful? These are all parts of Eric Erickson's psychological stages. So that's one way we learn about how to partner or how to relate to others, how to do relationship. Another component has to do with our temperament. It has to do with whether or not we're easygoing, we like to be in groups, we prefer to be alone. There's elements of temperament. Another thing has to do with where we're raised, sort of the sociological component of who we are. If we're raised with certain kinds of group connections, we believe that's the way things are supposed to be, mm-hmm. or the only way that they're supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And then finally, it's our personal experiences, our biography. So if we didn't feel like we were seen or cared for, or if we experienced that we had to be a certain way to be loved, then that's going to color how we do relationships. Mm-hmm. So once we understand about ourselves, our personal development, what we think matters in relationship, what is behind that set of thinkings or what I call paradigms, and what we want from relationship, then we're much more present, much more able to develop a powerful, positive relationship with somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Great. Then how do people become locked in ineffective thought and communication patterns?
Oh, so you know what that is. That's like what I call a habit reaction pattern. So mm-hmm. it's as if somebody says, I have to do it this way. And they have an equation of how they're supposed to behave in order to be accepted or loved. I have to look a certain way. I have to act a certain way. And to some degree, that's true. We do want to have somebody be nice to us. We want to be nice to them. But sometimes these negative ones are that we have to give up all of ourselves in order to be loved. We can't ask for things that we need. We have to be submissive or dominating. Those are negative habit reaction patternings that come from some story of an event that happened with us that then sort of became hardwired in how we choose to be in the world.
Mm-hmm. Great. You recommend bringing awareness of changes that arise with certain words or phrases. And why is this important?
Well, that's important because sometimes I believe that we all have a shared understanding of language. Like you can go to the dictionary and you can look up words and you can say, oh, yeah, we all kind of agree that certain words mean certain things. We also have something what I call a personal language, so that some words take on a charge or a meaning that is specific to an event that was very powerful for us. So if we want to understand that there are differences in words and meanings, then we have to, this can help us to really have better relationships. I think that one way that I speak about this in the book and that I've talked about this at other situations is the word grace. Mm-hmm. If you think of the word grace, it can have very religious overtones. It can reference whether or not somebody is graceful in how they move. So it has to do with whether something looks beautiful. And it can also have to do with being graceful in the sense you're gracious. You're allowing things to happen in a way that is going with the flow of something. So when you have a word that has that many different meanings, you want to make sure that you and your partner or you and the team you're working in have the same understanding of what your meaning as part of your goal when you're choosing certain words. Mm-hmm. Another word that can be very powerful is something like belie, because belie can have the meaning of lying. Somebody is intentionally lying to you. But it can also mean that there is a an implication by some actions, but maybe not an intentional implication. And so again, these are places where difficulties can arise in relationship because somebody has a different meaning to the words. You want to really investigate. One of the ways you'll know that somebody's responding to a word differently than how you intend is if they have sort of an angry, reactive response to you. You say something and all of a sudden they sound like they're ready to have a fight with you.
Mm-hmm.
This is a great opportunity to say something like, "What did you hear me say? What does that word mean to you?" And then you can reset what you really mean for that person to be hearing when you use that word.
And how can we begin shifting our perspective to enhance communications?
Well, one way is just like I just spoke about, where we're looking to investigate with the other person, clarify, bring in more information from the other person by watching what they're saying in reaction or response to what we're saying, by feeling into our own sense of something. And we can use something that I'd like to call a stop, look, and listen method. So as soon as you hear something is a little awry, you could stop communicating about that one thing and start to go back a little bit to see what preceded the negative interaction and what might have been the place in which a mistake happened. Then you can clarify and you can increase an understanding of what the other person is looking for and what you're looking for in that communication or in the relationship.
Mm-hmm. What is meant by interdependent relations, and how does it shift interactions?
So, right. So one of the things that I spoke about right at the beginning is this idea about me, I, and we, these different styles of relating. So the first style of relating is a dependent style of relating. It's a me style of relating. And in a me style of relating, two people come together and they make one person. I call it a codependent. Two halves make one. So there isn't an ability for people to have any dissonance. They can't really disagree without breaking apart the union. That style of relationship is really fearful, and there's not a lot of empathy for another person's point of view, and people don't really feel very connected, and they don't feel like they are safe because they have to keep making sure they're in agreement all the time. That's a me style.
Mm-hmm.
That's dependent in
mm-hmm.
nature. Then there's the I style, which is independent in nature. That's two I's, two singular beings walking side by side, but there is no interdependence. There's no give and take, I'll help you with this because I see you're ill. We have the same goals. I can take on this part of the work. There's no interdependence. It's independent. It can be very competitive. People like to be given credit for things. There's a lot of right, wrong. And although most individuals who are in an I style of relationship or very independent have the capacity for empathy, they don't utilize it usually to understand another person's point of view. So that's the independent
mm-hmm.
I style
mm-hmm.
of relationship. The we style of relationship, which is the interdependence that you're asking about, is this idea of more than two, three, because one person comes together with another person. They're independent in that they can take care of themselves, but they're choosing to be together. And then in that merging of that part that's a choice to be together, there's a third component, which is the couple. So it's an interface, an interlocking sense of two that is actually three. So each person maintains their identity. They can have goals that are their own individual goals, and they also have couple goals. And the way in which they help each other is this interdependent give and take in a very flowing, flexible, empathetic way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Good. So it's best to be interdependent.
This is my sense. This is what I'm encouraging people to be, is a sense of unity and interdependence where they have a sense of themselves. They don't lose themselves in relationship, but they aren't so rigid that they can't have a give and take.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What are core security drives and how do they affect our relationships?
Oh, this is the fun part of the book. I talk about something called MAPS. And when I was talking earlier about how it is that we decide how to be in relationship, I was describing these intersecting things that occur in our lives to help us determine what we believe we need to do in relationship or what relationship looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a map. And it's a map just like a map. If I want to drive to San Diego from Albuquerque, I would look on a map and I would say, oh, I'm going to go there and here's how I'm going to do it. Well, these core insecurity drivers are part of the MAPS system. And I use the word MAP because those are the first letter of each of the different core insecurity drivers: money, achievement, attachment, power, and structure.
Mm.
So it helps us remember that our MAPS are these five core insecurity drivers. Now, when we are unbalanced or imbalanced and we aren't quite in the interdependent style, then one of these, or maybe two or three, are out of balance and they drive how we do relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's money, then we're driven to make sure that we almost treat money as if it's a blood source, a nutritive product, and we have to hold all the money in order to be safe.
Mm-hmm.
We can't share our money. We keep our money in separate accounts if we're in a relationship. We want to make sure we get as much money as we can and we hold on to it.
Mm-hmm.
If we're in an achievement for insecurity, we aren't very good at sharing credit. If it's my idea, it's my idea. I'm the one who achieved that. I came up with that idea. We will force our relationship behind gaining more and more achievement, and our achievement is what makes us feel safe. If it's attachment, then it has to do with being connected and that we have relationships. So money may not be important to an attachment core insecurity driven person, but relationship is everything, and they can become very fearful if they don't feel connected. They can't have access to their partner all the time.
Mm-hmm.
If it's power, oftentimes with power, the way in which this is the driver in the relationship is the person is driven to not let somebody have power over them. So they set up their accounts and the style in which they relate, maybe even their discussions or disagreements are all about, you can't have power over me, about avoiding someone having control. Occasionally, this is about someone overpowering someone, and some of those dominant sadomasochistic relationships can come out of that kind of power insecurity driver. And the last one is structure. And structure has to do with whether or not a person needs to have structure in a very specific way. You'll find this with people who have to have things in a certain order in order to feel safe. Very rigid in their spiritual beliefs, maybe. Very rigid in how they run their lives business-wise or emotionally. And you can also find it with people who have been so overstructured that they are chaotic in their style of relating. So those are the five core insecurity styles of MAPS. And some people who are very healthy and doing their interdependent style of relating will still have a preference for one of those. Like maybe they do have bunches of degrees after their names, but they're not out of balance.
Mm-hmm.
They're able to share in their achievements. They just happen to like to achieve and are very industrious.
Mm-hmm. And are the people then that have these core security drives more toward independent and less toward interdependent?
Yes. People who are driven by these core insecurity drivers either fall into a dependent style of relating, oftentimes attachment will be more dependent,
mm-hmm.
or they fall into an independent style of relating. If indeed a person is managing to have relationships that are very interdependent, they generally don't have an insecurity driving them. They have a preference for one of those ways in which they focus their life, but it doesn't drive how they do relationships.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How will integrating mind, body, spirit enrich our lives?
That's such a great question, because really all of this comes down to the fact that we are spirit humans. And when we have insecurity drivers, if we're afraid to be interdependent, we're stuck in a dependent or independent style of being, then we're disintegrated spirit, mind, and body. In some way, we are not walking through life in an integrated sort of up-leveled consciousness where we can trust and interact with people in a mindful, loving way. So when you work to find your own integration in spirit, mind, and body, you are giving yourself the space and the freedom and the opportunity to really up-level so that you can healthfully interact in this interdependent we style.
Mm-hmm. Great. Then, can the tools that you write about in your book be used in all partnerships?
Yes. You can use these in partnerships at work, in team building. You can use them in love partnerships. You can use them in parenting partnerships. You know, you can use them in any way to help you find out where you may be having some dissonance, some problems in the relationship, and what you can really up-level and bring to the fore in a positive way to balance the relationship.
Mm-hmm. Great. Then, Dr. Janaris, can you tell us about your books, your services, and how the listeners could reach you or locate your books?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And I want to say that it's just been such a pleasure to talk with you. I really enjoyed our conversation before the interview, as well as this great opportunity to share with the listeners about the book. I have two books out right now. One is called Turning No to On, The Art of Parenting with Mindfulness. And in that book, I'm really giving opportunities for people to learn how to shift negative interactions with their children into opportunities for learning and connection. The negative interactions being no, and these opportunities being on. And the idea is that we're moving from no to yes and off to on. So it really helps children build their resilience, develop ways to deal with bullying, manage their will, and it helps parents feel confident in what they're doing with their kids to help them be the best beings possible. So that's a really fun book. Mm-hmm. And then another one is the one we've been talking about, Turning Me to We, The Art of Partnering with Mindfulness, and that's Shifting Competition and Narcissism to Collaboration and Connection.
Mm-hmm.
Both of these books are available on my website, which is just my name, Beth Janaris, BethGineris.com, or Amazon.com. Very simple. If you're here in Albuquerque and you're listening, you can find them at Page One and Bookworks, which are wonderful bookstores here in Albuquerque.
Mm-hmm. And do you have services?
I do. I provide coaching and seminars and therapy and acupuncture, instinctive health medicine, and you can find all about that on my website. And I do a lot of work, telephonic coaching, as well as work here in town and lead seminars around the country. So it's very, very fun. You can find me all over the place.
Mm-hmm. And would you give us your website again?
Absolutely. It's www.BethGineris.com, and Beth Janaris is spelled BethGineris.
Great. Well, I thank you very much, Dr. Janaris. I've enjoyed this, and I know it'll be helpful to the listeners. It's new material for me, so again, I like it when I'm learning something new, and I hope we can talk again at some point.
I love talking with you, Carl. It was fantastic, and I really am grateful to you for all the wonderful information you bring out into the community. It really makes a difference.
Thank you. My second guest, Pamela Harper, RN, is best known for her ability to combine body, mind, and spirit to facilitate healing by treating the whole being, no matter what else is happening. Renowned speaker on the subjects of health, wealth, and life purpose, she is a number one best-selling author, media personality, psychiatric registered nurse, success coach, counselor, and hypnotherapist. Many of her admirers attribute their personal accomplishments to her ability to get to the source of the problem and offer immediate solutions right here, right now, using a combination of ancient wisdom. Pamela has a private practice in Irvine, California, and treats individuals who are looking to create more immediate results, and more information is available at www.PamelaHarper.com. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Pamela, and I look forward to hearing about using visualization in your nursing practice. Now first, can you tell us about your practice with patients and how a holistic approach lends itself to healing?
Yes, of course, and thank you so much, Carl. Such a passion for me. As I became a registered nurse and worked with patients in so many areas, including geriatric, I noticed that there was always an emotional and a mental component to whatever ailment or disease that they had, and I began to put it together with personality types. I had a psych degree before I was an RN, and then I realized that we needed more experience, ability, a greater approach to treating the whole person. Mm-hmm. So I went back to school and studied neuro-linguistic programming and hypnotherapy, and I used visualization to help my patients sleep better, to help them visualize their body healing, and I helped them to use positive words to describe their future. So instead of focusing on the disease model and the disease itself, I had them connect with the cells in their body, and that their body knew exactly what to do to heal, and that they would focus on the healing energy in their body and focus it on any area of their body that needed healing, and we were able then to move forward into helping them believe that healing was possible, rather than the typical disease model in Western medicine, which you are your diagnosis, you are your treatment.
Now, this may be a little bit repetitive, but will you explain how you tie in the mental, emotional, and spiritual bodies to the physical bodies?
Absolutely. Thank you so much. First of all, when we agree, body, mind, and soul, to take on a life experience, and I believe that we make an agreement to take on a physical experience to ultimately evolve and grow. So first of all, there is the thought, I am sick, I have a backache, or I have this pain in my abdomen, and we start thinking then, this is a bad thing. I wonder if I have this, that, and everything else. And then the next thing that happens is our emotional body takes that thought and creates an emotion, whether it's fear or sadness or guilt. Anyway, our emotional body, we start to feel the experience. And that's where the physical body begins to replicate because of the mental decision and the emotional attachment. Our physical body starts to give us symptoms. And the symptoms then reflect that emotion, that thought, and then, of course, it's a cycle. Now I do, the pain's greater. I think I'm going to get worse. Then I feel worse. Then my body's symptoms become worse. The healing aspect that brings us back to changing our thought is that I am a spiritual being having a physical experience. I want to return to that basic knowing. And once I do that, then I don't feel alone. I feel connected. I feel hopeful. And I can go back to the thought and do affirmations. I am healing. I am healthy. I am whole. Mm-hmm. I am important. My purpose is important. And then I start to feel hopeful. Mm-hmm. And then my body replicates cells of healing, because the chemicals now flowing through my body are coming from a place of love and comfort.
Mm-hmm. Edgar Cayce said, spirit is the essence, mind the builder, and physical the result. So
yes,
it's basically what he was saying as far as what we are.
Yes.
Then how does visualization contribute to healing?
The visualization then becomes a habit. So the visualization creates... The subconscious mind doesn't know the difference between an imagined thought,
mm-hmm,
or a real thought. We, mm-hmm, are a series of our thoughts. And those that we were programmed with in childhood aren't necessarily the ones that we want to keep. But because we've been repeating them over and over again, everybody in my family dies of... I had a patient once who came to me for visualization for healing, for something totally different. And he said to me, all the men in my family die of heart disease in their 40s.
Mm-hmm.
So I just expect that that's going to happen to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to him, do you want that to be your truth? He said, well, absolutely not. I said, well, let's change that. And so we began then with visualizing himself looking into the future and being whole and healthy and seeing himself aging whole and healthy. And I make people a personal CD that they listen to every night when they go to sleep or whenever. And they have suggestions then that the subconscious mind begins to take on, mm-hmm, as their new truth. All our thoughts are a series of imprints in our mind,
mm-hmm,
and the mind can be taught anything, but on a deeper level, in the alpha state, on a subconscious level, the thoughts become truth in a very short amount of time, so it doesn't take years of visualization. It takes a shorter amount of time, and you will actually begin to feel the difference and think new thoughts immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I loved so much that I could bring this process into my practice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Then can you share with us some case studies that demonstrate your success with visualization?
Absolutely. And I gave you the one with the man with the heart disease.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give you one more specific about a man who came to me for counseling and hypnotherapy because he was physically, his body was not cooperating with him. And I'm just going to tell you a brief story about him.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I had to retire early. And I was happy because I thought, you know, I'll be able to play golf and do all of the gardening and things I want to do. But now I'm too sick. So I took him back to the moment in time when he agreed to take on this affliction. And he was at work. He was lifting a box. And he had a thought, if I was sick, I could retire early and I wouldn't have to do this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And his body cooperated.
Mm-hmm.
And it gave him a pinched nerve in his spine that led down to his leg. So as soon as we knew the origin of the thought, the aha moment came about
so that we could then say, okay, you don't need that anymore. You can let that go. And so the affirmations, the visualization, the CD that I made for him to listen to every night was that living in the now, his new thinking is to enjoy his retirement,
mm-hmm.
to see himself playing golf, and he actually did get better.
Mm-hmm.
He actually did get better. He did the work. It's not really work. All you have to do is close your eyes and listen, but he did it. He then began to let go of this imagined, if you will, condition so that he could live today in health and wellness and enjoy what it is that he really wanted.
Mm-hmm. Can you give us an example of an affirmation that you would use?
Yes, yes. Let's use one for him particularly.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say, your body knows exactly what to do to heal.
Mm-hmm.
You have healed many, many times. Allow the cells to work together with the desire to live, to love, to be, and peace and health. See yourself now going through the day, feeling stronger, more confident that your body works for you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Great. Then, Pamela, can you tell us about your books, your services?
Yes. Clients
can reach you?
Yes, thank you. And you can reach me at Pamela Harper, H-A-R-P-E-R, and I'm sure you'll have this on your website,
mm-hmm.
PamelaHarper.com, and there's a little contact box, and I would love to give everybody a free phone assessment if they have an ailment that they have been dealing with that baffles them. And if they choose to, they can go on to talk to me. Mm-hmm. I do phone sessions, then I make someone a CD. So PamelaHarper.com. I have audio programs that I sell for probably everything you can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And I do, like I said, I do phone sessions. I have a private practice. I have a television show called Breaking Free that I do that you could also see on my website. I do speaking engagements, but all of that you can find through going to PamelaHarper.com.
Mm-hmm.
I have a newsletter that I send out that you can also request.
Great. Well, good. I appreciate this very much, and I'm sure it will be helpful to those interested in learning more about using visualization.
Thank you so much, Carl. You have a wonderful day and be well.
And you too, Pamela. Thank you. Denise Marie, publisher of A Distinctive Style magazine at www.adistinctivestyle.com, has brought us another great magazine, the Spring 2013 issue, that is filled with inspirational stories and music, as well as information on social, health, and life issues. Because of my years working with homeless populations, I was immediately drawn to the story and trailer on Homeless to Hollywood that tells of a girl with a dream of being an artist who was also homeless and afraid of telling her classmates because she thought they would make fun of her. She and her family moved from shelter to shelter over 30 times, but she continued her dreams and painting to become an artist. The recent documentary in her name won an Academy Award for Best Documentary Short Film. Another human interest story is about Tim Harris, a restaurant owner who gives out hugs to all customers. Tim, who has Down syndrome, lives a productive life and talks about his life, marriage, and future. Two musical segments were memorable for me. One was the story and music video of Sister Rosetta Thorpe, the godmother of rock and roll, who performed in the 30s and 40s. This great music brought back memories of visits to the jazz and rock and roll clubs when I lived in New York City in the 50s. The second segment was a video by Josh Groban singing his new song, Brave. He has sold over 25 million albums, and many of us know him and his music. Social issues, including the fracking potential in New York State, the FDA approval of aspartame as a hidden, unlabeled additive in milk and other dairy products, the harmful effects of the microwave, the dangers of five chemical companies taking control of our seeds and its influence on food safety and diversity, and stopping violence against women with February 14, 2013, the V-Day to involve 1 million women and those who love them to walk out, dance, rise up, and demand and end violence. As the new Healthy Living editor, I wrote an article on holistic approaches to preventing and treating wrinkles without surgery, and also interviewed Dr. Fred Pescatore on natural ways to deal with seasonal allergies. Last were articles on Ann Richards, the 45th governor of Texas, and the new one-woman Broadway show on her life, and another story about her daughter, Cecile Richards, who has been a strong advocate for women and involved in issues ranging from Roe versus Wade to more recently joining Planned Parenthood as president. With these and other stories, you won't want to miss this issue of A Distinctive Style magazine at www.adistinctivestyle.com. My last guest, Kevin Suttle, has always been interested in maintaining good health and strongly believes in the old saying, preventive care is the best care. He wanted to develop a product that was easy to use and would help people cleanse their bodies of excess acidity, harmful toxins, help them maintain their weight, and hopefully inspire them to start living healthier lives. He partnered with a chemist from the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, and after much trial and error, they developed the Smooth A product, which he says is clinically proven to kill harmful bacteria, yeast, and other pathogens. Their water also has a pH balance of 9.9, which neutralizes acidity at its source and helps relieve the symptoms of acid reflux, heartburn, and other ailments caused by acid buildup, according to Suttle. More information is available at www.smooth8.com. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Kevin, and I look
forward... Thank you for having me on.
Thank you. And I look forward to hearing about Smooth 8. Now, why did you create Smooth 8?
Well, the main reason really is I've always been, you know, interested in maintaining health, mm-hmm. good health, of course, and I've always been a big fan of the old expression, preventative care is the best care,
mm-hmm.
right? And so we had my business partners and I, we had we were batting around ideas of things that we wanted to do, and we were all in agreement really that what we wanted to do was make a product that was, A, of course, affordable,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and that would help people, something that was easy to use,
mm-hmm.
You don't need to go to a specialist and get this drug or that drug, and, just kind of
mm-hmm.
help people jumpstart,
mm-hmm.
kind of a healthy program that would lead to them changing kind of, their bad habits of smoking and drinking, eating junk food, and drinking soda.
What's that siren?
Yeah, there was a fire truck.
So I guess they're gone. So I'll let you finish them.
Okay, no problem. So like I was saying, we really wanted to develop a product that was easy to use that would help people cleanse their bodies of harmful toxins and acid and, you know, help them kind of manage their weight and ideally get them to start living a little bit healthier. So, you know, after much back and forth, we were able to partner up with a chemist who was from MIT. And, you know, after a while, we were able to develop the smooth egg product. And, you know, we found out that it was, we sent it to a lab, and, you know, it's clinically proven to kill harmful bacteria, yeast, funguses, other pathogens. And, you know, it also has a high pH balance of 9.9, which basically will neutralize acidity at its source and help relieve the symptoms of acid reflux, heartburn, and, you know, pretty much any other ailments caused by acid buildup. And, you know, generally speaking, like, people have no idea how acidic and harmful water and other beverages that they drink every day are, you know. For example, you could take, like, tap water. It has chemicals like chlorine and ammonia, you know, as well as other bacteria and pathogens. As we spoke about earlier, you know, acidic diets, they've been linked to obesity and cancer and diabetes for a long time. And so, you know, really now we kind of have a simple means to help people address these things.
And how does Smooth 8 work?
So, really easy to use. Basically, you just take it. You can drop it into any beverage that you're drinking, whether that be water, tea, coffee, juice, even wine, you know. And really what it does is that it kills the acidity in whatever you're drinking. And when you consume it, what it does, it'll help flush all those toxins and built up acids from out of your body. And once you start to detox, you'll notice things like, you know, you've dropped a couple pounds and your skin is cleared up and you have more energy and you feel more alert.
And how do people know when they need to use this?
I mean, really, you can use it every day. If, you know, you can tell when you need to use it. You might have acid reflux. You might have heartburn regularly. You might find that you're feeling very sluggish. You might find that you're putting on weight. And that oftentimes is due to, you know, the products that we consume every day that we see. You know, people smoke, they drink alcohol, you know, there's just toxins in the air. Your body naturally produces toxins. You know, people drink a lot of soda, they drink a lot of coffee. Like, all these things have high
meat,
acidic content.
Meat, sugar.
Sugar, meat,
Anger.
Exactly. Exactly. Right. You know, all those things people would never think about, but they eat or drink that are actually harming their bodies.
And do people check their acid alkaline balance before they take this, or do they just
can
take it?
They can. We have many customers who do things that way. They'll test it, say, for example, in the morning times, and, you know, they'll do the 20 drops three times a day, and at the end of the day, they'll go back and check, and they'll find that it's gone, that their pH balance has gone up a little, and, you know, with continued use every day over time, they'll see that eventually their pH balance starts to climb up, and they start, you know, they can see the results. I mean, probably the most noticeable result that they'll first see is that they have more energy, right? You know, they're getting all those toxins out, so they'll have more energy, and they'll notice that their skin starts to look much better. You know, it'll look a little healthier, as I said, once you get all those toxins and you detox, you'll notice, you know, your skin clears up, you have more energy, you know. You have a little more clarity, and eventually over time you'll notice that you start to drop weight also.
Sounds good. So what are your other plans?
Well, we have we just have launched two new products, our acid reflux product to combat the acid reflux and heartburn, as well as one that's used for purifying water. As we are clinically proven to kill, you know, 99.9% bacteria, fungus, molds, yeast, any pathogens, so all that kind of stuff. So, you know, for people who go camping or have survival mm-hmm. kits or generally are concerned about, you know, mm-hmm. the quality of things that they're putting into their body, mm-hmm. you can also use it as a antibacterial wash for vegetables and fruits.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for people who like to drink a lot of fresh juices, you can use it. You can put the drops right into the juice. It'll mm-hmm. make it so that it doesn't spoil.
Mm-hmm.
If you are the kind of person who likes to drink wine, you can put the drops right into the wine. And not only will it take the acidity out of the wine, but if you put it right into the bottle, it'll make your wine last longer because it kills mm-hmm. the bacteria.
Mm-hmm. Can you give us a couple people that have used this and what's happened to them?
Sure. We have, and you can find all this stuff at our website mm-hmm. at Smooth 8. Mm-hmm. You know, we've had people, we have a gal, a participant, her name is Tiffany Roach, and she lives in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And she found that using Smooth 8 not only quickly cleared up her skin, she said she would oftentimes have kind of breakouts and acne.
Mm-hmm.
She found that right away it cleared up her skin.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She also found that you using it for a month or two, she was able to drop, you know, 8 to 10 pounds.
Mm-hmm. That's always good.
We had another participant actually in the Cambridge area who had used it for, he had used our acid reflux product, and he mm-hmm. found that it worked better for him than Prilosec did.
Mm-hmm.
He found that, you know, using the our acid relief product, he was able to just neutralize his acid reflux and heartburn right away.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can find all this information on our site. We, you know, generally speaking, people find that, you know, if they have anxiety, also we had a participant who suffers from anxiety oftentimes,
mm-hmm.
and she found once she had the anxiety, her stomach would bother her, so she started using our product,
mm-hmm.
and she was able to negate all of her stomach problems that way,
mm-hmm.
and it really worked for her well as a digestion aid.
Mm-hmm. I use something that has orange peel in. When
okay.
I had heartburn, this was probably 7-8 years ago,
okay.
and I took it every other day for 20 days, and they guaranteed that I'd have no heartburn for 6 months, but I haven't had any since. But my diet is not conducive to heartburn anyhow,
right.
because I
right.
eat primarily fruit and vegetables. I don't eat sugar. I don't eat meat. I
right.
rarely get upset.
Same here.
So
same here.
I've got all of the, you know, the lifestyle that is not conducive to heartburn. So that
right.
helps.
Right, of course. Of course. But, you know, there's all the people out there who, you know, they still want to eat, you know, the pasta sauce or drink orange juice or
mm-hmm.
drink the coffee,
mm-hmm.
you know, drink the alcohol and smoke and all that stuff.
Right, right.
So, you know, for them, you know, now they have a way, not that I want to encourage anyone to do all those things, because if you want to be healthy, you really need to
right.
cut back on all those,
right.
on
right.
all that stuff.
Right.
But, you know, if you're going to do it, you know, now they have mm-hmm. an option to help them alleviate the symptoms, you know?
Right. Now, Kevin, can you tell us how the listeners can reach you and tell us your website and all again?
Sure. They can find us at smooth8.com.
Mm-hmm.
We are on a couple other websites as well. One of them is Prasada Beauty.
Mm-hmm. Can you spell that?
Sure. Prasada.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the other is For Anima, ANIMA,
mm-hmm.
which is a new vegan community marketplace. They have a lot of great products on there.
Oh, really? Mm.
Yeah, great stuff. I mm-hmm. highly recommend that you guys take
mm-hmm.
a look at it.
Mm-hmm.
We have our products up there.
Mm-hmm.
In physical stores, we have it in the Hempest, H-E-M-P-E-S-T, Boston,
mm-hmm.
at their 3 locations in Massachusetts on Newberry Street,
mm-hmm.
Harvard Square, and Northampton.
Mm-hmm.
And we work with a nutritionist out in West Virginia, and the name of his business is Sound Nutrition.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So he's been recommending our products to many of his clients, and, you know, they've been having good success with it.
Great. Well, I thank you very much, Kevin. This has been interesting, and I know it'll be helpful for those that want to continue the lifestyle that requires this.
Right.
So I appreciate this very much.
And I appreciate you having me on. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Kevin.
All right. Have a great day.
You too.
And bye now.
Bye. I thank you for joining me today on the Holistic Health Show. I ask that you go to my website, www.holistichealthshow.com, and under the blog, vote for me in the writer's contest. Scroll down until you find it. I'm Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host, wishing you a great week.